enabled and entrenched de facto American independence. Moreover, it was begun powerfully enough to survive the crushing Patriot defeats and disillusionments that came in summer and autumn in 1776 as the British Army and Royal Navy won major battles in and around New York. Much of the necessary underpinning of American self-governance, provincial congresses, local committees of safety, new seaport regulators, the flight of royal governors to small British warships obliged to provide cramped and humble quarters, and Patriot militia ordered to double as political police, had been put in place as part of the spirit of 1775. Jefferson himself thought that the United Colonies already had de facto independence before the Declaration came along. As 1775 ended, the only place the British still controlled was occupied Boston. A second spur to write on this topic came from my fascination over more than a half century with the periodic realignments of U.S. politics. My first book, The Emerging Republican Majority, written in 1966 to 1968 and published in 1969, predicted the beginning of a new Republican era in presidential politics. In 1993, when Bill Clinton was inaugurated, the departing GOP had held the White House for 20 of the last 24 years. Two decades later, I am not sanguine. Both major parties seem chained to pernicious interest groups and tired ideologies. In 2008, given this context, it had seemed more rewarding to stop analyzing the present and instead to delve back into history and examine English-speaking North America's first political realignment, the 1774 to 1776 resort to war, by which 13 colonies quit the British Empire with such great consequence. That was an era of political hope and ambition to take seriously. The political realignment achieved amid revolution was unique. No other has come with simultaneous ballots and bullets, although the Confederacy tried in 1860 to 1861. As for 1775 and 1776, no stretch is needed to talk about an emerging Republican, small r, majority, or plurality. And despite exhaustion and disillusionment, much of this civic commitment hung on through 1782 and 1783. The U.S. Constitution, to be sure, was hammered out and ratified 5 years later by a somewhat different combination, one in which many persons who had been Tory-minded or neutrally inclined during the war came together with the wealthier patriots to write more conservative national guidelines. Many of the farmers, artisans, laborers, and seamen, vocal rebels whose egalitarian postures circa 1775 had disquieted the northern commercial and southern plantation elites, opposed the new coalition a decade later. But although this further transformation is a fascinating one, this book does not pursue it. 1775 focuses entirely on the early biases, ballots, and bullets that literally made the United States, albeit with the critical assistance of French and Dutch gunpowder. My decision in 2008 to forego current affairs for history had its own small backdrop. I had immersed myself between 2002 and 2008 in early 21st century U.S. politics and the American political economy. In four sequential national election years, I had published books that sought to explain national predicaments and their implications, Wealth and Democracy in 2002, American Dynasty, Aristocracy, Fortune, and the Politics of Deceit in the House of Bush in 2004, American Theocracy, The Politics and Perils of Radical Religion, Oil, and Borrowed Money, in 2006, and Bad Money, Reckless Finance, Failed Politics, and the Global Crisis of American Capitalism, in 2008. All were bestsellers, but the quandaries persisted. The financialization of America, an ill omen I had been writing about since 1993, helped bring about a crash in 2008. But post-crash politics did not yield the needed far-reaching reform. Finance continued to sit in the catbird seat. Between 2008 and 2012, the relative economic decline of the United States and the shift of influence to Asia moved from theory to reality. The prospect is not cheering, but I have discussed it at sufficient length in earlier books. 1770